You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I think the single most biggest issue with New Zealand in regards to housing is supply. Right? We just don't have enough supply. So we need to build more and build faster. This is a nationwide issue. So the party's come out with a Housing for Growth policy program, which we're really enthused about. We're going to make sure that we put targets to local government, local council to hit housing goals. And we're going to incentivize these local councils by literally paying the money for new houses that are built. We're also going to increase the space which you can build on. So the third tier of the agriculture piece around the rural urban line, we're going to allow them to build houses there too. Outside of this, we're going to keep pushing for intensification near the travel corridors. So this will allow for way more build and way more. We just need to increase supply. Now, outside of this, social housing, we've also come up with a policy program that will make sure Kāinga has competition, which will increase quality and quantity in housing as well.
I wanted to ask about your housing policy, actually, because currently as it stands, one third of New Zealand households are rentals, and cities and in central areas, that numbers or that ratio is even smaller with more people renting. So I think everyone would agree with you that we do have a housing shortage and that supply issue needs to be fixed. But as it currently stands with renters' rights, the National Party is looking to bring back no-cause evictions. And I wanted to ask if that's a policy that you agree with and you think is will help renters in the long term or if it's just detrimental totally.
Well, one of my frustrations is how political parties have kept putting groups of New Zealanders against each other. So and one of the ones is landlords versus renters, right? When we are part of one economic system. Now, one of the reasons why rental prices and supply has been impacted is because the changes in interest deductibility and the bright line test made apartment owners and homeowners reduce, not put their things in market. The quantity and quality of supply got reduced, and this current government was told that that would be the case. One of the key reasons why we're reverting back to status quo so that it opens up the private markets again, opens up the open markets again, so that it allows for more supply. I'm definitely not of the opinion that you should keep fiddling around with the markets because, you know, you make one change here and then you make another change there and you make another change. You constantly, like, effectively, like, tying up the market in knots. You need to open it up and let it go. And your question around, you know, what was the term when no cause evictions, the allowing the vast majority of landlords have a very positive relationship with tenants. They've definitely, I have seen challenges where, like, apartments in the city have been used as meth labs, and that story is getting around that there are more and more people that are using apartments for negative things, and this has allowed landlords and apartment owners to hold back supply. My suspicion is the number of situations where tenants are feeling egregiously kicked out would be incredibly few and far between. The issue we have is supply, and I think that just needs to be ignored. So we need to do whatever we can to increase supply.
So I'm totally with you on that, but I think in the scenario where someone is using a rental to cook methamphetamine, I think that is cause for an eviction. I think currently as it stands, you can be evicted for that under the law, and I don't think anyone would argue against that. So I'm just interested, because you are the candidate for Auckland Central, which is a vast, like, you know, a lot of people here rent. No cause evictions, it just doesn't seem like it quite makes sense. And do you think that it will increase renters' rights? And that's something that you, as the person possibly selected for Auckland Central, would endorse?
So going back to the example that I just said, and I'll answer your question too, but going back to the question you just asked, right? I have seen a real-life case where the situation occurred, and now insurance isn't covering the sort of detoxification of a meth lab, right? Insurance is not covering that. And because they weren't able to like pick the person out fast enough and early enough, and it took a long time, that situation is caused. And if those kind of stories pass around. Now, my hope is that these, you know, that there won't be any unfair. I can't imagine a situation where people are being kicked out unfairly. I think the solution is to have supply, but you can. Hey, you're right. As the Auckland Central MP, I am an apartment first. I'd be responsible and have ownership of an apartment first electorate. And for me, making sure that there is a very, very supple and valuable renter economy going on is really important. I think things have been skewed to push people from putting in supply too much. So I'm keen to see how this will go down, this change will go down, whether it increases supply or whether there are cases where people are getting kicked out. And if that's so, then it should be relooked at again.
The population of Auckland is expected to reach 2 million people by 2028. In 2018, residents of Auckland boarded public transport an average of 54.5 times per capita. So Auckland is in desperate need of improving the city's public transport. What are your priorities around public transport in Auckland and making it more efficient and effective for the people that live here?
The single most important thing from a public transport perspective is to make sure that the city rail link is executed on, right? And we need to make sure that that project is delivered. I mean, using the phrase on time and within scope is a little bit silly now, given how long it's gone. So what we should do is make sure that project's delivered. And see how the bus routes connect to it, and then further design the city around this. For me, it's about making sure you do one thing incredibly well, one step at a time, and doing it incredibly well. So that's my primary focus.
Part of that too is working with the council, and Wayne Brown has released a manifesto to all political parties outlining what he believes is needed in order to help the city grow. So as part of his manifesto, the mayor outlined six priorities, and one of the most salient priorities was partnership and devolution, creating a fundamentally different relationship between Auckland Council and the government. Do you believe that the central government should be less involved in decision making for Auckland? And if elected, how do you plan to work in tandem with the council to help Auckland prosper?
Yeah. Absolutely. So the National Party is a party that believes in limited government that wants to give power away. And we definitely want to pass on more power to local council, local government. So we've actually come out with these city deals. So we're going to just after we get elected, if we get the chance to be the party that's in charge, we will do deals with all the local government, local councils where we renegotiate and work out, hey, how much power do we transfer to you? What is the cash we give to you, etc. And I want to play a key role in making sure that Auckland Central is represented really well, especially the likes of Waiheke and Great Barrier and things like that where there's nuances, and also the fact that we have universities and apartment-specific fees. So within the first 3 months, we'll be doing those deals. And again, like I said, part of it is devolving more governance, more authority, autonomy, and cash to local government. So I'm fully on board with that.
The January floods left many Aucklanders afraid of the damaging effects of climate change. For your party and for you, is climate resilience a priority? And what policy do you believe will help make Auckland a climate-resilient city?
Yeah, climate resilience is critical. I mean, it's a little bit terrible it's very clear we're going to have more stark weather conditions over the next 2 to 5 years, right? For the future. And we need to change things accordingly. I'm actually excited. We have this thing called a social investment program where I want to identify community organizations that are localized, that are addressing, say, irrigation standards in different areas, where there are specific issues and challenges from a climate resilience perspective that are specific to apartments. And what I would like to see is I'd like to see community organizations and social entrepreneurs that are cultivating, created like a cottage industry forming around climate resilience. So we have set up the social investment program. Outside of this, I'm also keen on using our tech integration policies to bring in those entrepreneurs which can address these solutions. And what would be really cool is if we can identify these solutions and then take them globally as well.
The last national candidate to hold the seat was Nikki Kaye in 2017. Why people of Auckland Central should vote for you and believe in you as someone that will represent their interest and help make the city a better place?
Yeah, I think one other thing before I comment on that is the one other point that was really important that we didn't talk about was I think the biggest issue that Auckland Central and Auckland Central voters have said is crime and crime and safety and how unsafe people feel. That's my number one priority, to make sure that Auckland Central feels safe again. Crime has been cutting through all aspects of the city, and university students telling me they've been king hit and all sorts of things. So that needs to be addressed. The reason why they should vote for me is I love the city. I spent a decade in the city. I went to university here. Part of my life is here. And I am a reflection of Auckland Central. I grew up here and I love this place. I get the city. And I want to devote a significant portion of the next few years to this place, right? I bring 20 plus years of global experience, global executive experience to address a wide variety of issues. And I'm problem first in regards to, I'm not driven by an ideology. I just want to solve these problems and make sure that our city and our area is the most livable place.
3 years' time, let's say you were elected as the member for Auckland Central. What is your vision for Auckland Central after the next three-year term?
It would be a safe Auckland Central, right? Somewhere where the cost of living crisis has come down. Economically, we feel vibrant again. The job per income has really gone up. CityLink has been executed on. We haven't tried to do too much change around Auckland City. Just the CityLink has been executed on, and we're seeing how that goes. Cafes, shops, and bars are full. The tech scene has really taken up a notch, and university students are feeling really good about the jobs that are coming out. The Waikiki Ferry situation is sorted out. And a phrase I like to use, both Waikiki and Great Barrier have community resilience, ecotourism hubs. It's really starting to come through. So does that, and I suppose the city, the phrase I like to use, it's a Singapore light, right? Safe, vibrant, things are going really well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.